Good morning for you as we have worshiped together. It's amazing just even with the Word of God and studying it and looking at it and considering it, just how sometimes throughout our lives every song, every event and things like that just point us back to God's Word. I find that happening for me throughout this week as we're looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. And if you would turn there in your Bibles, we will, that's the passage we will be looking at this morning. But as I look at this and reading these verses, just thinking about Jesus Christ, the light and the life of men. Just so many times thinking about light and the way that we use that word. And I don't know what you think about when we mention the word light, but just even this week, I think it was this morning, I got up and says, oh, it's dark outside. These are the time of year you get up and it's dark when you go to work, it's dark when you come home. There's not necessarily a whole lot of light in between, and even the light that we have reflecting on last week is not that bright, shining, happy light of the sun. It's out there. It's behind some clouds. And just storms, and a little bit of dreariness. Even though the light is there, we long for it to be even brighter. And just a few times, the sun would come out. I say, yes, the sun is out. Melt that ice. Melt that ice. Melt that ice. More so, maybe the heat than the light itself. And then, like me, Monday in particular. Boy, knowing, even looking back to Job, I said, I didn't want to shock your system too much, so we just changed a couple of letters. So we've been in Job for so long, we took the B off and added the H and the N, and now we're in John. But to look at that, and just even in that trial and in that struggle, Monday, beginning early in the morning, beginning shoveling snow and ending shoveling snow, say, someday this storm will end. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And here we have the warmth and the light and the sun as even now shining through and realizing, yes, this too shall pass and it goes away. There is light after all of those things. And we look at our lives and considering that and just realizing that, for us, how important light is, physically. We're going to look at spiritually the light that comes from Jesus Christ. And also that hope and the light that we have that we are His, and we know that God is God and He has a plan for all things, and particularly joyfully our redemption. So boy, when we do have those cloudy days and those struggles and those trials, even as we think about Job, that there's an end of those things, and even in the midst of it, God is there, and there is light, through the trial, and light at the end of all of our trials. And for us, that is a great hope-giving truth. So as we look at this, the Gospel of John, this is a prologue. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Didn't figure we had maybe the time to get all the way through verse 18, but we're going to read that whole section. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and then we're going to look at the first 13 verses, and we're going to dip our toe into verse 14, even as we think about this season and the Word becoming flesh. So we'll read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray, and we'll look into the Word. Our God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came that we might have eternal life and hope in him. And Lord, as we study this text and just see the glory of you, our God, and of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray that it would just make an impression upon our hearts. Lord, encouraging us today as we think about our lives that we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we will begin this morning by looking at the nature of the light there in verses 1 through 4. The nature of the light, later on in verse 4, we get to the eye, he was the light of men. But verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And realizing that this light, Jesus Christ, the light of men, the light of the world, he is divine. He is truly and completely God. Where it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word there, even Word for, you know, we see logos. And just exactly what that means, a few different ways that it's used. Some look at that and saying, it is basically saying this is the order or the standard by which things are measured and designed. Which we see that with God as he talks about his creation. There's a perfect order to those things. We look at God and his plans for all the things that he has made and realize that he is the designer, and there's a purpose for which all he's done, and his purpose will stand against all other purposes and plans that people may put into place. You know, we can also think about the definition of what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is not. All of those things find a standard in God, for God is the standard maker. He decrees that which is right and that which is true. And all that he decrees comes to pass and will not change. So we see there even where it says Jesus Christ, this is what we see. He in the beginning was the Word was with God, and then verse 14, the Word became flesh. Understanding that to be Christ, we see that in Jesus Christ. We see that standard of all things, a standard of righteousness, a standard of truth. You know, the work of the Creator, the plans of salvation. All of those things find their perfection in our God and in Jesus Christ, for he is divine. We also see in these verses that he is from the beginning. He is from the beginning. And we think about this many times, even reading through the Gospels, this fourth Gospel of John, a little different than the others. But we read Mark. You know, where does Mark begin his gospel? Well, he begins with the with the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. You won't find the Christmas story at the beginning of Mark. He begins with Jesus' earthly ministry. We've got Matthew and we have Luke. Matthew and Luke begin at the point of Jesus' earthly life. We see Jesus' genealogy, angels coming and speaking to shepherds, and Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias, and all of those things declaring the Lord has come. Well, John, he goes back to the beginning of Jesus' existence, the existence of the Son, which is hardly really a beginning, because God has always been, and Jesus Christ has always been Jesus, God the Son. But yet we look at this, and even for him to say, in the beginning, and in verses 2 and 3, he was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And understand what I mean by it's not the beginning of God that he's talking about. We take everything back to really kind of the beginning of the world that God has made, and we set our time based on that, because that's where time begins. Where we see genealogies from Adam up through all of the patriarchs, even all the way up to Christ. And realizing, you know, this person so many years and so many years and so many years and so many years and so many years. Other passages of Scripture that say, before the creation of the world, God designed these works to be done. Before the creation of the world, God had a plan for salvation. Well, that moment of creation is a time that's set forth as, well, that's the beginning. Again, not the beginning of God, but yet beginning of things as we understand them. And we know things. There were things that were before the beginning, and those things all belong to God. But it says he is from the beginning. So he always has been. He is eternal. Which even as John goes on and speaks about Jesus' earthly life in his ministry, all the things that he has done, the miraculous works that were accomplished, John focuses on the fact that Jesus Christ reveals to us the Father. Jesus Christ reveals, you know, this is who God is, because Jesus Christ is God. And he explains all of those things, and he begins in this prologue focusing on the fact that that is what's true about Jesus Christ, God the Son. So that light, it is from the beginning. And also continuing the idea with creation, we see that he gives life. He gives life. In verse 3, all things are made through him. Without thing was not anything made that was made. Everything that was created. The life, the living plants, the animals in which there was the life, and the man in which God breathed the breath of life. He says, without the God, the Son, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, none of those things is made. We see other passages. Even he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things hold together. Speaking of Jesus Christ. But he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the one who was, he was there, and he gave life to all that we see life here. And we also see John in this prologue outlining things and moving things forward in John chapter 3, where he's speaking with Nicodemus, and he says, you know, how can I have eternal life? You must be born again. You must have new life. We'll see later. New life that comes from somewhere other than this world. You need new life. And in John 3:16, You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The nature of the light, the nature of the life, this is God. God who is the giver of life, God who is light, Jesus Christ. You know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we see those descriptions and those things. Realize it is God, it is the Son who gives us life and gives us light, because that is who they are. And so we have that hope that he gives life physically to everything that lives and breathes. And he also gives spiritual life and renewal, as by believing in him, our hearts and our lives are changed. He makes us new. He makes that which was dead alive. So as we see the nature of the light, we also see in verse 4, where it says, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. In the darkness, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. We realize the shining of the light in verses 4 through 8. The shining of the light. Or says, this is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Talking to someone this morning, just before Sunday school. So, well, we always see the light of the sun. We just like to see the shining sun, the brightness of the sun. And again, pointing back to creation in those verses, as we find maybe try to follow John's train of thought, you know, in the beginning there was darkness over the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then physically, separating the light from the darkness, giving us day and night. But yet God spoke, and there was light. And light dispelled the darkness. The darkness was gone. Darkness is really nothing more than the absence of light. You can't say, how dark is it? Well, how light is it is really a better question. It's a little light, or it's very light. But God is perfect light. And at creation, he gave light to the world. And then we also see that he shines in darkness even now. When the sun comes up, the darkness goes away because light has entered. And you can't overcome the light. It's going to shine. You know, we'll wake up trusting the sun will come out tomorrow. And it may shine brightly, and it may be hidden behind clouds and gray skies, but it will be there. And spiritually, we look at this shining with power, realize the same thing is true. Jesus Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. Darkness will not overpower him. He defeats sin. He has defeated death and given us victory. And so when we look at Jesus Christ and that light which is given to us, the light of the world which illumines us, helps us to see the way, the truth of who we are and our need because of our sin, and he shows to us the way of salvation. He reveals those things to us. He is the light that shows us the way of salvation. As we think about that light shining, you know, Jesus Christ making God's truth known to us, revealing to us who God is, revealing to us, making known what God's salvation plan is, and what it is that he came to do for us. We see in verse 6 that the light shines through proclamation. It talks about John the Baptist there. And really not a whole lot of description about him. He says, a man was sent from God whose name was John. He was a witness. He came to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him. He wasn't the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And we look at a little bit further along the way where we're going to talk about Jesus coming to his own and his own not receiving him. You know, God, and we'll talk a little next week, even looking at Psalm 119, and as we look at it, just the importance and the necessity and the goodness of God in giving us his word that we might have revelation of the truth and understand those things which we so desperately need to know. That throughout time, you know, through Moses and through the prophets, we even see at the end of this prologue section in verse 17. You know, there was the law. God has made himself known. Through the prophets, God has said, hey, a Messiah will come. Even all the way back to Genesis, God says, I have a plan to redeem a people for myself. I have a plan to deal with sin so that it can be paid for, so that you might have victory and you might have hope and joy in the eternal life which I will promise to you. And John proclaims, that is, he was a proclaimer of the light. Some think that maybe there's not a big description of John there, because John's even saying, John the Baptist, it's not the point. You know, he's not that important. And John the Baptist understands that. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He understood who Jesus Christ was, and that is the emphasis. And we can look at that at our lives, and we can look at so much and how pride can come into our own lives and hearts. And for some people, even as we'll talk about rejecting him and not believing, he says, I've got it all figured out. You know, I am a good person, and my goodness and the works that I do, I think will merit me the favor before God that I need. You know, and that's noble that someone might want to live that kind of life. You know, even now, I'm sure some of you were involved in doing good things for your neighbors. Some just because their car was blocking the road and you had to get them out of the way or you couldn't go anywhere. Some because they were desperately in need and they needed some assistance. Some of you may have been recipients of the goodness of a neighbor and we're thankful. And those are good things. And like I said, it's noble to want to do good. But, you know, we can look at these, and for John realizes there's lots of good that I might do, and John recognizes about John the Apostle, recognizes about John the Baptist, of all the good things that he may do, that's not the point. You know, the point is that there is a light, that if you believe in the light and in Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to find your way. Otherwise, you will continue to be hopelessly and totally lost. I need that illumination and that truth. Christ is the one that will show me the way. I'm not going to find it on my own by doing various things or whatever else. It's not my righteousness, it's his that I need. Any light that I have is always, you know, hidden by clouds and darkness. What a dim light that we can show, but yet we have a bright light that we can proclaim, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is where salvation comes from. So we realize that's the importance, that we, like John, would proclaim the light. And I can do lots of good things for other people, but it's important that I make known the light to them. I can bear witness of that light because that's their only hope 2. So we see that here, the importance of the light and how that light shines in the world. And then verses 9 through 13, we're going to look at the response to the light. That light comes with power. That light is proclaimed, and the light is seen in verse 9. It says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So as we start there again, thinking about Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at John, there's a theme there in that book. Show us the Father. Help us to see and help us to understand who God is. Show us, Jesus, who you are and what it is that you came to do. We can't understand these things. There's things that can't be seen even until Jesus came into the world. You know, those prophets and things in the Old Testament, people are scratching their heads saying, I wonder what that's exactly going to look like. And even as Jesus came to the world, there was confusion as to why he was there and what it is that he was doing. But yet it says he gives light to everyone. He was coming to the world. He was in the world. And even though the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So to realize, what does Jesus Christ do? That light, Jesus Christ reveals that truth to us and shows us the way of salvation. In response to that, we see here that he is rejected. He is rejected by some. In verse 11, it says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. In other passages, we can read that the Jews had a Jesus born a Jew. The Jews had an advantage. They had the revelation of God, the scriptures that pointed them to the light. This is who your Messiah will be. Look for him. And John would say, this is the one of whom so-and-so said. And yet, they would see these things. They had God's word, and we can even look at the history of the nation. You know, even in the moment, they didn't believe everything that was told them to them. This is what's going to happen. This is who I am. Well, I'd rather just do my own thing. And that's what they might do. But when Jesus came, even he came to his own, and there were many, even looking at the Pharisees, you know, crowds of people saying, crucify him, crucify him. So they did not receive him. They did not accept him. They did not believe. Jesus Christ was rejected, even as Pastor Brian, you know, something else that points me right back to this text in our time around the Lord's table. Say, rejected, 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 where we go, but it's so obvious. Why wouldn't you embrace that? Why wouldn't you rejoice in it? Well, it's because they're in darkness. And they could not see. You know, many times, you know, I'm getting pretty good about walking around in this place in the dark. Even every now and then, those pews hit me just about right there in the leg, and that hurts. But to look at it and see, you can wander around in the dark. And I can close my eyes and put my hands over my face. And I might not even fall down if I try to go down the stairs. And it's dark. And I can't see. But the light still shines. You know, I am in darkness. I don't believe. I don't come to the light. And so we see his own people not receiving him when he came to them. But it tells us in verse 12 that although many rejected, and many today still reject Jesus Christ, we also know that he is received. And in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He says, all those who believe in his name, all those who receive this truth and believe it and follow after Christ, well, they become the children of God. They find a new home. They find themselves in a new family. They find themselves to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, receiving all of those things that are his, and all the blessings that come because we are his. So they have the right to become the children of God because they've received Christ, because they've believed in his name. We see in verse 13, this kind of turns me back even to think about Christmas. We understand that spiritually, boy, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Understanding that if I'm in such darkness without the light of Christ and without the revelation and the illumination of God, I would not, by my own will, you know, not by the will of my flesh, become a child of God. But yet he says, this is of God. It is God who gives you new birth. It is God who gives you new life. It is God who gives you life eternal. And we look at this and just even for Christmas, pointing back to Christ's birth, maybe just something else that even unites us. For us, it's a spiritual birth to say, spiritually, I'm not born of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but God is the one who gives me new life and birth. We look at Jesus Christ when he came to this earth, when he was born in the flesh. That's not by the will of man. That is not by the work or the will of the flesh. That is not of blood, but it is of God. It's by the work and the will of God that Jesus could take on flesh and be born of a woman, that he might live and he might die, that we could receive salvation through his blood. And we receive that by believing in his name, because God gives us the light to dispel, to cast away our darkness, and we can believe. So we look at these things and even thinking, whether, you know, thinking about Christmas, who is Jesus Christ, what is it that Jesus Christ, and what difference does it make? Well, you know, we received him, and not just, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I understand who he is in the beginning with God, creator of all things. The very Son of God who came to die for my sins. And as we do that, we rejoice in those things. Yes, I have received, I have believed. I am the child of God, for he has made me his own. Even as he made Christ one of us, or Christ became one of us, by the will of God, that we might be saved. For us to think about that, to rejoice in that, in this season, as we think about light that is around us. So much of the season talks about light, light, lights, light. Say, boy, the greatest light of all is the light of Jesus Christ. And that light gives us life, and we can rejoice in that and hope in that, for it is the most wonderful, wonderful truth. We will close in prayer. And the deacons can come. We'll receive our deacon fund offering. We'll just ask the Lord to bless that as well. And then we'll follow that up with a song and be dismissed. For God, we thank you for today. We thank you that in a dark, dark world, that you sent Jesus Christ, who was the light of the world, that we might be able to know your truth, Lord, that we might be able to believe, and that we might be able to have salvation through his blood by believing in his name. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help us to remember that and rejoice in that as we celebrate this time of his birth and think about his life and why it is that he came. Lord, help us that we would be faithful to follow and to live in just your light and in the life that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you too for the opportunity we have now just to be a blessing to some who may be in need. And Lord, as this offering is taken, that you would use it for your glory and Lord, your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.